Welcome to the C3 Toronto podcast. We're so glad you're here. We're believing God is going to speak to you through this message today, right where you're at. Thanks for tuning in.
So here we are, new set, new series. How many people love the Narrow series? Wasn't it good? Pastor Jerry last Sunday, what a message. You need to go back and listen to that message. It was so good. And so here we are. Got some cubes around me. The series, I don't know why they're laughing. I guess the creative team did such a good job here working with these. The series is Altars, and Vision Builders is about, it's about purchasing and building. We know that the future of our church, that there will be a number of facilities that will dedicate to the use of God and allow God to move through those places. But I don't see them as buildings, I see them as altars. And altars are places in the Bible that people would build and establish as places of worship. Sacrifice would happen on altars, and it would be a place where heaven would meet earth. It would be a place where people would come and they would bring their best and they would offer in worship to God. And I see anything used for the worship of God as an altar. I believe my life is a living sacrifice. My life is an altar for God. And so it's awesome. So shout out to the creative team. A little specific shout out to my boy Landon, leading that, the vision on that. And it's very good. There's water in this one. So if I happen to get parched while preaching at a very high level and my throat gets dry, I can just, you know, have a drink. So there's dirt in this one, and I don't know. I don't know what I would do with that while preaching. Maybe I don't know. Maybe God will miraculously grow a tree out of there or something, and I don't know. It could be wonderful. Anyway, I'm being a little bit weird. So moving on, Psalms chapter 40, Vision Builders. This Thursday night is going to be. There has not been a vision casting session in our church since the beginning that will be as significant as this Thursday night. Yeah. The thing that we are announcing is, you'll have to wait. And so why don't you just turn in your Bibles to Psalms chapter 40, and we're going to get into it today. And this message is called, Here Am I. Somebody say that. Here am I. Send me. It's a place to come to God open-handed and just before God to say, Lord, I'm here. Use me in any way. Now, as I've said, for those people that are new, Vision Builders is sacrificial financial giving. It's worship to God. It's beyond tithing. Tithing is an obedient step that we have in our church of 10% that we give to God as honor to Him and obedience to Him. And that's the Bible calls us to do that, to live our lives in that way. And then Vision Builders is over and above that. And this needs to be cheerful. It needs to be free. It needs to be not out of obligation. And that's not what this series is about. This series is not about applying pressure to your pocketbook. This series is not a prosperity teaching where we don't believe in prosperity teaching as a church, where in the sense of if you give a certain amount of money, you'll get a bunch of great stuff from God. Well, I don't believe that. I don't believe that that's what it's about. But I do believe that God wants you to prosper in all senses of the term, in a holistic way, that your soul would prosper, that your life would prosper, that your marriage would prosper. And I do believe that God does want you to, as long as things don't have your heart in terms of idolatry, that God wants you to have good things. And so the reason that we talk about giving is it's about worship to God, because prosperity teaching is all about what God gives us. Where that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about is what how we can honor Him and what we can give to Him. And that's why this message has a sense of holiness about it in terms of here am I, send me. I want our church, and I know our church is a willing church to step into the plans and purposes of God. And that's what this message is about. Psalms chapter 40, I hope you're there. In verse 4-8 says this, and it's kind of like a beatitude, which is part of the reason why I chose it, because it kind of goes along with the last series, is it says, blessed, somebody say blessed. Yes. Blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord, who does not look to the proud, to those who turn aside to false gods. And money is something that pridefully presents itself as a proud, false god. It wants you to trust in it. If we trust in money more than we trust in God, what happens is when we look to money in that way is we grip it tighter. We grip money tighter. When we grip it tightly like that, it doesn't work as well for us. When we go to God with open hands and we trust God and with our finances, that you need to understand is that God will bring back to you, that God is a good God, and your money will work better for you. It will have less of a grip to the anxious thoughts in your life. And I know through COVID, and with a sense of feeling out of control at times, that our knee-jerk reaction to a season where we don't feel in control is to try and gain more control. But what we need to do, and the narrow way of thinking, is to make sure that when we feel that knee-jerk reaction to control, is to release, surrender to God and trust Him, because He is faithful. We cannot trust in money. We have to trust in God. Well, I remember when I was a Bible college student back in 2003, we were sent on a missions trip from Sydney to Queensland, and it was about a 10-hour drive on this missions trip. And I had this car, it was a Mitsubishi Magna that was literally held together with like duct tape and like super glue. And you know, I would drive and they'd just be holding things together with my hands. Like the car, you know, I was grateful to have the car, whatever. It was my first vehicle. And it had so many kilometers on the odometer, I don't believe the numbers went that high. Like, I think it just got to the end. And it was like, okay, we're done. Like, this car is old. Anyway, so we're up in Queensland. We're miles away from where we were from in Sydney. And the car just blew up. Like, the head gasket completely fried. And I couldn't drive the car. The whole thing just died. And I had to get it towed to a mechanic. When I took it to the mechanic looked over it quickly and then gave me a call later that day. We were in a church doing some other stuff, and gave me a call later that day, and the timing chain had failed, and it was time to replace the timing chain. It was something like a $3,000 expense. I don't know if anyone's been there. Type into the chat if you have had one of those similar experiences. They're horrible. And so I just felt like, man, I didn't pay like $500 for this car. And like, how are we going to get home? And being forced as a Bible college student to pay that money and to pay that bill. And then, you know, the irony to all of this is I had a CD. Anyone remember CDs? You know what a CD? A compact disc. The CD. One day I want to do a set for this where it's just lined with CDs. Wouldn't that be super cool? Somewhere inside land's like, no, bad idea. So, but you know, my son has no idea what a CD is. We found like a Lego movie CD or something like on the side of the road the other day. He has no idea what it is. He just picked it up and threw it. He's like, this is awesome. Anyway, so this CD in the car was a Tony Robbins motivational CD about how to take a hold of your life. And it was about how to take a hold of your finances and how to be financially secure. And I would listen to this thing and I'd be wanting to apply the principles. And God just pushed a button on the inside of my heart and just woke me up. It was like He grabbed me by the shirt collar and says, Sam, what are you doing? What are you doing? And I was like, God, like, what's going on? You know, I'm working this job. I got no money. Got this huge timing chain thing going on, and you know, Tony Robbins says this, and God kind of laughed at me, and He's like, Sam, you are gripping money too tightly. Let it go. Somebody say, let go. That is one of the most challenging moments. And then to turn to God and say, here, Lord, I am, send me. That was difficult. But I tell you this, that my person looking back now, back to then, which was nearly 20 years ago now, that I would have just about headbutted. The mentality that I was in, the anxiety that I felt when it came to gripping money tightly, the things I was listening to direct me in how to direct my finances wasn't the word of God, wasn't God's voice, and I knew that I needed to surrender to Him. And I want to tell you, since that day I started tithing, I started being a part of offerings and different things at church, and I started to understand the freedom of what it means to let go of something that wants you not to let it go. The freedom of what it means to let go of that spirit of finances and trust God, truly trust God. And I want to tell you, if I can encourage you, please do not try and grip money tightly. It will never serve you well. Be a generous person, be a trusting person before God, and God will look after your life as you honor Him. And so as we read on, it says in Psalms 40, it says, "Many, Lord my God, are the wonders you have done, the things you planned for us." God has plans for you. God has plans for this church. "None can compare with you. Were I to speak and tell of all the deeds, they would be too many to declare. Sacrifice and offering you didn't desire, but my ears you have opened." And I think that that's God's message to us, is he doesn't require our offering. It says, "Burnt offerings and sin offerings you did not require." God doesn't require your offering. He requires your heart, He requires your worship, and He requires your obedience. He's going to do what He's going to do. He doesn't need us to come to Him and say, "God, I want to check this offering box. I want to get it over and out of the way. I want to do the Vision Builders series so that we can get to the next great series. Let me just give a bit, check that box, and maybe I can feel good." No, God doesn't want that. He'd rather you keep that money. He'd rather you keep that offering. Why? Because He doesn't require it. He doesn't require sacrifice that doesn't have heart connected to it. God requires worship. God wants us to go to Him with an "I surrender all" spirit. Then He said, so at the end here it says, "Then I said, here I am, I have come, it is written about me in the scroll." God has written about you in the scroll. He has written your life and written what He wants your life to accomplish. And then He says this, "I desire to do your will, my God, your law is within my heart." Number one, here am I, send me. Somebody say that. Here am I. Send me. That is the biggest, boldest, bad A prayer that you can ever pray. I want to tell you, it is not a lighthearted prayer. It is a significant prayer. It is something that ought to make you step back, breathe deep, look up to heaven and say, "God, I got a sense of what you've written on the scroll of my life. I know, and I'm counting the cost and the price that you are asking me to pay, but I do it in your grace, and I say, here am I, send me." I like the way Isaiah wrote it in Isaiah chapter 6, verse 8, and he wrote it like this. God was calling Isaiah to use his speech to prophesy to the nation of Israel. He was using Isaiah, probably the most significant prophet in our Bible. He was using Isaiah to prophesy the Messiah to come, to prophesy God's redeeming salvation plan to his people who are now disobedient, who are now in exile, who are now totally turning from God. And Isaiah was calling the people back. Calling, and it was a huge task, and it was a task that was going to require a massive price tag to it. It was a task like planting a church in Toronto. It was a task like standing up and being a part of a people in a pagan society that doesn't acknowledge the Bible, that doesn't acknowledge God. It was a task for someone written on the scroll of life to say, would there be a people group that would stand up in downtown Toronto that would proclaim the name of Jesus, that would preach the word of God? Would there be a people that would say, here am I, Lord, send me? Isaiah 6 verse 8 says, "Then I heard a voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? And I believe that God is saying that right now. He's looking down in your life, in your living room, and he's saying, can I count on you? Can I count on you? Who will go for us? And I said, Isaiah said, here am I, send me. I like that Isaiah ordered the words in that way. I believe it was intentional. He said, here am I. In Exodus chapter 3, when Moses said, whom shall I say would send me? God said, I am that I am. I am is God. God is the initiator. God is the great I am. We don't have an I am life. It's not about us. It's about him. We have a life that says, here am I, Lord. I surrender to you. It's about making sure that God is the subject of our worship, that we aren't the subject of our worship. We don't want to buy a building and put a logo on it so that there are any accolades towards C3. We want to do it. I would nearly rather not even put a logo on the building just so that God gets all the glory and we know that where everything is directed. This is the house of God. This is the altar of God. It's worship to him and he is the great I am. I remember when Jess and I felt that unction to say, Lord, here am I, send us, or here are we, send us. I remember that we were sitting in the Chelsea Hotel. We were visiting Toronto, 33 Gerrard Street. And I remember we had finally decided we were in the city. We walked around and we were still a little bit hesitating whether we were going to do this. And it was about 2010 and we had already felt that God was calling us to the city. We eventually moved to Toronto in 2012. And in 2010, we're sitting at 33 Gerrard in the Delta Hotel in our room in silence. And I remember both of our hearts connecting with God and that we said, Lord, here we are. Send us. And that feeling is a sobering feeling. It's a feeling where, you know, you're counting the cost and you understand the weight. And I know unapologetically that anybody that's been invited to consider being a part of this vision are stepping on the front line. I know that you are the essential workers for the spiritual climate of downtown Toronto. And I know that when you take on that task, just like the essential workers are taking on the task to work for people in the ICU wards, I know that every single time they step into that hostile environment, that they have to take a big gulp and say, this is the price, this is what I'm laying my life down for, to serve others. We do it in a different sense, in a heavenly sense, for the spiritual climate of the city. The devil is opposed to it. He doesn't want to see it move forward. But I tell you, you and I saying yes to the things of God, that we will see God's plan unfold on the scroll that has C3 Toronto written on the top of it. And God's plan unfolding is he's just looking to see who will say, here am I, send me. In Isaiah 50 verse 7, Isaiah says this, because the sovereign Lord God helps me, I will not be disgraced. God is our help, guys. We won't be disgraced. He says, therefore, I have set my face like a flint. This means like it's the flint is a sharp rock. It's a solid rock, it's a sharp gaze. It's like the way I'm looking at the camera right now. It's somebody that understands the weight of the cost that's before them, but sets their face on the prize. It says, I will not run this race like one who's aimlessly. I will run this race in order to win the prize. Jesus was referencing Isaiah chapter 50 as he lived his life. They say that scholars say Jesus set his face like a flint to the cross. He didn't want to do it, but he said, not my life, but your will be done, God in heaven. And it says, I know that I will not be put to shame. There are two types of courage, church. There is the courage in a moment where something happens and you just pick yourself up and you feel that your courage, there's no previous thought to it. You just act. And there's another type of courage that's premeditated, planned courage, which sees the difficulty ahead, yet steadfastly marches towards it. I want to tell you that I'm grateful to be surrounded by a team here and by a church that have that type of courage, that premeditate the plan of the price before them and decide to make different decisions that people in doubt and fear would otherwise make. You are that church. We are a church who has set our face like a flint. Now, I want to build your courage by talking to you about the plan that God has already unfolded. As we count the deeds of the past, courage for the future starts to take precedent in our life. And so number two is God has a plan. I remember we were in the Thy Will series last year, and right in the middle of Vision Builders is when March 12th happened, where they announced that we would go into restricted lockdowns to battle a three-week curve. I know we shouldn't laugh about that, but it's really unbelievable to think what has happened since then. Be in the middle of a Vision Builders series, which was titled Thy Will, Everything Changed. And we've done 7 years of Vision Builders up to date, and every single year these series have been the most significant time of worship to God in the life of our church. And so as this last season had started unfolding, I really felt that God speaking to me about the importance of corporate worship and the salvation power of the church of God. See, God is not just into individual salvation. He is into the salvation of communities and societies, which are churches. When people come together and they come together outside of their homes and they meet in a location like a building, and it's like a small society that represents God's salvation plan to creation is taking place every Sunday. So heaven's will comes down to earth, and it's like a mini inauguration of the things to come. It's like God's promise for the future is already made known in locations all around the city right now. As there is preachers right now in this very timestamp of time preaching behind pulpits in churches all around the world, I want to tell you that those are moments of heaven's will being done on earth. That when people come together and that God's plan for reconciliation for all of creation, that we get to embody that hope here and now on this planet. We don't do it separately, individually at home. We do it together as a society. The Bible calls a body of believers that come together in a place, and we show the society and we show the world the hope and the future and the things to come. It's a beautiful thing. This is where corporate worship happens. This is where people come together in a place of faith, where it's like the rain of the anointing of God, the Spirit of God ascends down and meets on a place that's been constructed by human hands. And that is what an altar does, is an altar is built by human hands. But when it's dedicated under the ordinances of God, it's like something spiritual takes place. And instead of Jacob just sleeping in a place with a pillow like a rock, is he erects that pillow, he changes the structure of the pillow, he moves something that is earthly, he moves something that is made by human hands, and he stands it up and he dedicates it to God. And then all of a sudden what happens is a ladder extends from heaven to earth, where angels ascend and descend. And this place that was otherwise just a rock, this place that was otherwise just a building, now being used for other purposes, like Pastor Katie was saying, these buildings that were otherwise used for just normal ministry and normal business, all of a sudden become a supernatural place of transaction. One would say it is like a portal from heaven to earth, where miracles take place, where hope is made manifest, where the things and the purposes and the plans of God come into people's lives. And what happens is people come forward and they kneel at these places, and then their hearts are opened, and cynicism leaves, and depression leaves, and pain leaves, and then all of a sudden the light of Christ comes into people's lives. The hope of humanity comes into people's lives. This isn't about a building. This isn't a building vision. This is a people vision. This is something about seeing not just individual salvation, not just salvation of society, but salvation of the whole of stinking creation. That is what God is about. God is coming at the end of Revelation. He is coming to redeem and restore a new heavens and a new earth, and all of creation as we know it will be restored. Amen. That is the future. We just live in the present now that is not that yet there. But in our hearts and in our spirits, because we are believers, because faith sees the things that are not yet seen, is we already live in that reality. Amen. I got a little off track. I'm just passionate about what we're about. God has done some amazing things in the past, and when you thank God for what he's done, it gives you courage for what he's about to do. And it's no secret to every different individual in this church that our faith is being tested in the last season through COVID, and that our courage is being beaten down. But I tell my kids when I pray with them at night, the one thing I ask them is I say, what are you thankful for? Sometimes, you know, the things that they're... I still really want to wait for them to say, Daddy, I'm just thankful for you. I don't know if they've actually said that yet. Maybe someone can put a bug in their ear. But, you know, we were doing it about Mummy the other day. I just said, that you guys got to list out to me everything that you're thankful for about Mummy. And my belief is that the more that they acknowledge how thankful they are about Mummy, the more they'll respect her. When you hear yourself say it out loud, the more you honor it. And so the more that you say how thankful you are about the things of God, the more that you realize how good he actually is. So the more you respect him, the more you respect him, the more likely you'll surrender to him. And so why don't you just type in the chat right now anything that you're thankful for. I tell you what, gratitude will just make you feel better. If you just write in the chat just something simple, maybe someone just feels thankful for this brilliant message. Maybe you're thankful for these like little baptismal boxes here and stuff. I don't know what you're thankful for, but just write something in the chat. But I tell you what I'm thankful for is that God has moved in the past in our church, and it's going to give us courage for the things that he's going to do in the future. I remember when we first launched the church that for the first 2 years, we were really struggling to exceed 100 people in our congregation. And, you know, I was really knowing that God wanted to do so much more, so many more people to get saved, so much more life change, life transformation. And I remember praying and believing that we would exceed 100. And when we had our first service as a church, we had 98 people. And it was frustrating because, you know, we were really believing that there would be 100 people. And because I believe that what Toronto needed to do was to listen to the gospel of Jesus and people pay attention to large crowds. People pay attention to moves of God. And we've seen that since. But then what happened is after that first Sunday, as we dropped down, we had an average of about 30 or 35 people in church for a long time. First couple of years of our church from 2013 to 2015. And we were perplexed, Jess and I, because we knew God had spoken massive promises over the church. We knew that God wanted to do amazing things in people's lives and that it was going to be numerical and it was going to be incredible. But for some reason, it just wasn't happening. Somebody say, but God. And I remember Easter of 2015, it was freezing cold and we had this plan to do an outdoor Easter egg hunt. We invited the community. It was snowing that day. I mean, it was nice in March and then April hit and it snowed on Easter Sunday. I remember collapsing before God and saying, man, we have put word out. We have done this Easter egg thing and now it's snowing and nothing's going to happen. And I got all depressed and sad and sorry. And then all of a sudden, like on Easter Sunday, you can see in the photos there, we over 500 people just showed up, like out of nowhere. We only had 300 seats out. People were standing all around the back of the room. There were people waiting outside, and we threw on this big barbecue, and we didn't know if we were gonna have enough food. And we stood back and we're like, oh my goodness, God, you've got a plan. Somebody say, God's got a plan. You know, God doesn't need the sun to come out on Easter Sunday for him to work a miracle. I remember at Queen Elizabeth Theatre, like it was the following Easter or maybe the one after that, that we were, same thing, we were averaging about 600 people at the time, and my wife just carries such amazing faith, and we were looking at the venue and it seated 1,000 people, and Jess is like, we really should do Queen Elizabeth Theatre. And I was thinking to myself, I was thinking of other options, because I was like, man, if we do Easter at Queen Elizabeth Theatre, and I don't think it's gonna, I don't know, like having 1,000 people, that just seems way out of our league. And Jess was just, no, like I really believe that this is a God thing, and it happened. But the miracle off that Sunday wasn't just that we had over 1,000 people and there was amazing things going on, is it started a ripple effect of press release that happened about the church. There was a God factor on this stuff where it says he's the first time that we were in the Toronto Sunday Star, or actually might have been the Saturday. It says this, church makes hallelujahs hip for city's downtown millennials. Isn't that cool? Does that make us sound awesome? I'm joking. But I think it's awesome that God started to use the media and over 30, maybe even 40 different articles, which resulted later in a full feature-length documentary written and produced about our church. That's right. If you didn't know that, there is a documentary about our church out there somewhere in media land. You can look it up. Could somebody say, God has a plan? He does. God has a plan. God has done amazing things, and I'm preparing you for the announcement that's coming on Thursday that God has a plan. I want to be a part of His plan, and I know if I get on that bus, if I get on that train, that my life will always be exciting, I'll tell you that, and that there is something about what's written on the scroll over this church. I remember the Matthew House organization, we'd partnered with them. We were running at the Scotiabank Run through a Love Toronto event. We were doing like a 5K short marathon thing, and I remember hearing the vision of the church that they were running out of space for refugees, and you know, we got this call from God to buy a house, and you know, we knew that property purchasing would be a part of our future. We got a sense that this was going to be like a stepping stone to the things of the future, that if we could buy a house, maybe we could find a bank and a lender that would work with us. And this was when we had about $350,000 in the bank, which sounds like a lot of money, but when you're trying to achieve something big in Toronto, it really doesn't sound like much as soon as you start talking to banks. 40 different banks declined from us. And then we found this house and we bought it for $800,000. And there's a photo of Greg and I in Calgary. And we looked down at the receipt where there was a number on the receipt, and we just couldn't help but stop and praise and glorify God. There was, we in one transaction, we gave four, we emptied the bank accounts basically to do this, $486,000. And we just looked at each other and we just went like, who am I? Was kind of the question. Like, this isn't about us. This is about God. And God did such amazing things and miracles through that house. We've since sold that house for over $1.2 million. And it actually returned a positive investment into our church, which is absolutely incredible. And God has done amazing things through Matthew House. We love that organization. We still work with them on a weekly basis. We love them. And not only that, Massey Hall, you can't talk about the glory of God and God's goodness through the life of our church without talking about Massey Hall. This was another one of those moments before Jess, where Jess is like, well, I said to her, why don't we just go back and celebrate our fifth anniversary at Queen Elizabeth Theatre? We were going through some challenges at the time as a church, and Jess is like, no, that's not us. We're a how can this be church? And I really think that we need to go. And the team will testify to that because we were in a planning meeting at the time. And I'm the one ye of little faith, and the planning team all side with Jess. And I'm glad they did, because we went into Massey Hall. Now, not only did 1,600 people show up to that service that day, which was amazing, but that's not where the miracle lies. The miracle lies in the fact that we were believing for, up to this point, we had never seen over 100 decisions for Christ in a single service. And we were believing that for this day. And it happened. Over 100 people made decisions for Jesus because we stepped out in faith. I'm telling you, this isn't a building vision. This is a people vision. Last point is, God doesn't require our offerings. God requires our heart. Our heart. Offerings without your heart is nothing. That's just religion. But when you put your heart into it, you'll give God anything. And you can trust God with your heart. I hope people are listening to the new Elevation Church album, Old Church Basement. It's just been released. It's great. There's a song on there called Come Again. And the lyrics say this: it's not a building you want to fill, it's my heart. This empty space, it's what you wanted all along. Do you know, friend, that there are millions of empty hearts all over our city and all over our nation? There are millions of people that do not have a living, walking relationship with Jesus. And I want to tell you that in our future building and buildings and campuses and locations and the things that we do, I want to tell you that what is going to happen is this transaction where people meet God and their lives are changed forever. This transaction is going to happen again, and we use the buildings and we use the things as leverage, just like these cameras, to see a greater effect to the greatest message known to humanity, the gospel, the hope of Jesus. So there's a scroll that God has written. In the Message version, it says, I'm coming to the party that you're throwing for me. I don't want to be about anything else. I want to be about God. I want to be about what God has written over my life. And this message is an invitation. It's an invitation where you would obediently say, I do not want to just be about an offering. I want to give my life in a way that says, here am I, send me. That's what this message is about. That there is a scroll from heaven, and it's a lot of it's a mystery. You don't know, I don't know, about all the plans that God has for us in the future. I just got a sense that it far exceeds anything that we think or imagine. God has a plan for your life. He wants you to trust Him. And will you pray the prayer, Lord, here am I, send me. Will you pray that prayer before you go any further into the Vision Builders series, before we present the vision at all, to just have that mode of faith and trust before God that says, God, use me in any way that you want. I know that what God is doing is He's establishing these altars. I know that churches have moved out of the city, but I know what we need to do as a church is move into the city. Toronto is one of the most influential cities in the world. You know, we the North. We moved here because the CN Tower is a transmission tower. It's actually a radio tower. That's what it is. And one of the signs for us was seeing the CN Tower as a radio tower that transmits out culture to the rest of Canada and to the rest of the world. It is arguable that Canada's cultural center is the city of Toronto. That the culture of Canada, the culture of the world is influenced by the art, the music, the media, and everything that comes out of this city. I'm not saying it's only this city, but I'm saying that it's arguable that the city of Toronto has now been put on the global map as one of the most culturally influential cities in the world. This city needs to not just send out cultural messages of anti-God, anti-biblical messages that oppose the plan and purposes of God. This city needs a people that will step up, count the cost, and have that planned, perceived courage to step into the things of God and say, we believe that there is a church and a group of churches, not just us, but we partner with all the churches in this city, that we would make a mighty work for God and that the city of Toronto would send out the gospel and the truth found in Jesus Christ. I'm excited to be about that. And this is your invitation. But before you go ahead and step out on any of that, before you go ahead and think about your money or anything, I need to ask you whether you've truly trusted God with your life, whether you've invited Him into your heart. You need, before you say, here I am, Lord, send me on anything else, you need to say, here I am, Lord, come into my life. Jesus wants to have relationship with you. You might have never invited Jesus into your heart. Well, He created you, and He created you for a plan and a purpose, and He wants to live in your world. He wants to have a relationship with you. All you need to do is invite Him into your heart, and in a moment, we're going to do that by praying a prayer. And maybe you've once walked with God, but for any number of reasons, you have departed from your faith with God, and you know that your life isn't right with God, and you want to recommit your life to Jesus. If that's you, you too need to pray this prayer that invites God into your heart. Or maybe you simply, you know, you have stopped trusting God, and you need to recommit your life to say, Lord, I surrender to you and I trust you again. If that's you, if you're one of those people that want to pray this prayer of salvation that invites Jesus into your heart, I want you to click the I raise my hand button on the side of the screen. It's important that you do that because I think that God sees that action and He honors it. So if that's you, if you're one of those people that you either want to pray this prayer for the first time or you want to recommit your life to Jesus, you want to give Him the trust of your heart, the trust of your world, why don't you just pray this prayer with me? Say, Dear Jesus, I thank You that You died on a cross for me. Forgive me of my sin. Make me new right now. Help me trust You and follow You as my Savior and my Lord and the author of the scroll of my life. In Your name, Jesus, here we are. Send us. Amen.
Thanks again for tuning in. If you want to support this ministry, we invite you to give online. We'd love to see you on Sunday. Check out our website at c3toronto.com for online service times and how to get connected. And follow us on social media for real-time updates.